Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we have new release dates for pretty much all of the upcoming Marvel films. All the MCU has been shifted back, and we are so sad to talk about it.
All that right after this ad we have no control over. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
Hey, what has happened, Jeff?
The same thing that we've been doing for the past couple hours, buddy.
Yeah, we just got done recording an episode of Avengers Assemble, and now we're going to record an episode of...
No, we did not. Marvel, we just got finished recording an episode of MCU Cast.
Well, it's a bonus episode of MCU Cast based on an episode of Avengers Assemble. It's a long story. You guys will understand later.
You'll get it when you're older.
I was about to say that. That's funny. Okay. Well, let's...
News?
Hey,
new stuff?
Hey, let me tell you about something I did tonight. And let me tell our friends here that this is a possibility. Today's show is brought to you by SendSingingTelegrams.com.
What's SendSingingTelegrams.com, Matt?
Well, it's what I do when I sing telegrams to people. So I sing telegrams to people.
But Matt, social distancing.
I know. Well, see, that's the thing. So I decided this week to start offering over-the-phone singing telegrams, but it's really fun because I use the whole podcast setup to get really good audio, and I call the person, and I read them the message, and then I play the song over the phone, and then I post the whole conversation as a YouTube video with their consent. I post it as a YouTube video so that the person who sent it can hear them receive it. And I thought it was really cool. So I wanted to tell everybody, if you're out there and you are feeling disconnected from your loved ones, or someone has a birthday or whatever, then you can go to sendsingingtelegrams.com and you can order a singing telegram from me. It's $25 and I do a whole thing and I post it to YouTube and it's really actually a pretty cool little thing. It was the first time I'd done one and I really enjoyed doing it for this lady.
So. I like the posting it to YouTube idea.
Yeah.
Just because a lot of times when, you know, I've used your service to send a singing telegram to my ex at one point.
That's right. Sorry, I ruined that relationship.
I mean, you do what you can, man. but a lot of times when you do that, you know, you get a notice whenever that is just like, oh my God, you did this. That was so great. And you're like, oh yeah, you got the thing. He came and sang to you. Like, okay, how did you react? And they're like, oh, you know, just, I loved it. Like, okay, but no, I want to see your face. I want to see your face. What happened? I want to hear your reaction to it. So I think that the YouTube thing with that could be the next logical step.
Yeah.
I think you're onto something.
I thought it was cool. I thought it was really cool. I honestly thought it was going to be lame, and then I did it, and I thought it was going to be really, and then it was really cool, and having the little recording of it, and her responding, and being so excited on the phone and stuff. It was just really fun. So if anybody has anybody with, like, birthdays or anniversaries or things where you're not going to get to see your loved ones because of all this corona, I will call them and read them a message from you and sing them a song. SendSingingTelegrams.com. It's going to be really cool. So yeah, but at least we're going to be doing it this month. Maybe it'll be a new thing I do, but, I've been doing the in-person singing telegrams for a long time, but yeah. Okay. Well, let's get into the news. I just wanted to mention that up front as I've mentioned on the in the past few casts, I'm not working at all. So I threw this, so now I'm like every day I'm hustling, you know, I always try to do some sort of business idea. And this actually, I did it today for the first time and it was awesome. So I'm going to try to throw some ads on Facebook or something and see if I can find people that want to do it.
What's really great is you're going to get some requests from people that are overseas, and you're going to have to learn how to dial internationally. Yeah. And if they ask for it in a different language, you're going to have to learn that entire language before you do that.
No.
No, I won't.
No. Yeah. So tell us about the news, Jeff. We have one big piece of news.
So Marvel kind of announced their change of schedule with the COVID-19 pandemic being what it is, and having affected everything greatly. Like, for instance, did you know that the box office numbers for March were zero?
No, I didn't. Wow.
Like, the box office reported their first zero dollars everywhere in a while, like ever.
Yeah, I can't imagine that's ever happened since the like invention of box office numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we've been asking people to support the VOD releases and the digital releases and watch Disney Plus and, you know, just show that there is a backing for these digital media so that we can potentially get like the New Mutants or maybe Black Widow released on these platforms so that Marvel can still get them to us in a relatively close to when they wanted it timely manner. And Marvel kind of replied with a resounding no.
Oh, really? That's a bummer.
They did it with their schedule. They announced when Black Widow is, and it's November 6th. November 6th, 2020 is when it got pushed back to. Man. So it was kind of like I hear you. You want it online. You want it digitally. You want it now. No.
So they didn't actually respond to that. They just responded to it with posting this schedule, which does not at all post online. It's November is so far away, man.
It really is.
What's got me really worried, and not just for Black Widow, of course, they're saying there's a possibility of reinfection and like re-emergence of the disease in the winter months.
Yeah.
And it's like, why would you move it to November? Move it to like July, you know, like when it's likely to be able to see it. I don't want this to get moved back again. I'd be so sad if this moved back again.
This pandemic is very similar to, it's being compared to the Spanish flu outbreak in the late 19-teens and early 1920s.
Yeah.
And if you look at the timeline of like deaths per, I think it's deaths per thousand is the chart that I saw. But in the U.S., in the summer of, I think it was 1919, it spiked. And everybody, you know, everybody was dying from it. And, you know, everybody enacted all these measures to stop the spread of it and to help people. And it fell off and it went down to almost nothing. And then the next year, the very next summer, it spiked up like double what it was.
I'm pretty sure it was winters, but yes, I think you're
was correct. It winter?
Yeah, just because that's generally these type of viruses. And this obviously isn't sure about the corona because this is a new novel disease, but generally, obviously, flu and cold season is a thing, and that's the winter. Like, and when it gets cold, and it's because something to do with like literally when it's cold, the molecules stay in the air longer. That's basically it. And so like you literally can get infected by people that are further away from you. Now that hasn't been proven for coronavirus, but it is a thing that's like pretty common of other coronaviruses.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you're right. The big spike was in 1918. Sorry, summer of 1918.
Let me just interrupt you right there. You're right. The way you said that, there was a lot of surprise in your voice, and I'd just like to say that offended me.
Okay. Well, in 1918 summer is when it spiked, and there were 5 deaths per 1,000 persons.
That's so crazy.
And then in, it looks like October, late October is where it started spiking again, and it was like 25 deaths per 1,000 persons, and then trailed off in December.
That's why I bring up, and yes, we're definitely not a current events podcast, and but yes, nope. That's... Of course, not that you're saying current events, you're talking about 1919.
1918.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, so, but generally it happens in the winter. So that's my worry with it. Moving all the way to November, I'm like, that's it, starting to get cold again, guys. What if we have to do this quarantine thing again and I don't get to see Black Widow for like another year? I'm really upset. I'm really upset. We're going to have to start writing fan fiction, man.
I think that's what I'm doing with my new show.
Yeah, that's true. Script Doctors, that's kind of fan fiction. But no, I'm actually like legitimately, like all these TV shows, all these movies are shutting down because of this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to get a weird, like we've had such a glut of content for the last 10 years. There's been too much stuff to watch. And we're about to get to the point where there's just nothing new. Like, we're going to hit a season where there's just nothing new for a while.
This is almost like the writer's strike back in, 2012?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Was it 2012?
I don't remember. It was whenever Heroes was on, because Heroes bonkers.
Heroes season two is when it happened.
So crazy, the lack of care. Like, you don't have writers. So I get it. You got to keep breaking your shows. There were a number of shows that like went really off the rails. And one of the, I forget what show it was, but one of the shows had some early scripts, but because they could no longer be worked on by the writers, but they wanted to still produce the show, they just shot based on early scripts and didn't do any rewrites. And there were like blatant problems with all the scripts, but they're the kind of problems that get fixed in like further edits. But they just, well, it's a writer's strike. Film what you got.
Slap it together.
Yeah, it's crazy. Oh man. And yeah, instead it's just like nothing can be produced, so we're gonna get a lot of reality. No, we're not gonna get any reality TV. Like,
no, not even that.
What's gonna happen to Listen to My Heart?
I don't know, man. I don't know what that is.
That's the new Bachelor spinoff where it's all musicians in the house, in the mansion.
Oh Jesus.
I think it's called Listen to My Heart. I was trying to make a joke that I was really up on it. I just seen commercials. I think it's called Listen to My Heart though.
Sounds right up your alley.
You know me. I love my reality dating shows, and I love, I say all that as if I'm joking, but I have seen way too much of The Bachelor, especially in the last couple of years.
And you're a musician, so like...
Exactly. I thought... Boom. It's like something to do with like, you have to get on... See, I don't even know the rules of the show yet, but it makes me interested because you have to like... be dating but also be making music together.
What?
Yeah, like that's the crazy thing, and that sounds like a crazy wrinkle. Like, you should almost never do that, like in life. and like, you much definitely shouldn't do it on a reality show, and it sounds like the kind of train wreck that I have to watch.
That's fair.
It does.
So, along with Black Widow getting moved back, like that kind of, you know, pushes everything else back, but it doesn't push everything else back the same distance. Eternals, actually, the Eternals movie got pushed back to February 12th, 2021, which is 3 months after Black Widow releases.
Okay. And it was originally in November, right?
It was originally in the slot that Black Widow is currently taking. So it was going to be 6 months apart, but they halved that time frame.
Good. Maybe we'll slowly catch up with the slate, like where it was supposed to be.
Maybe. So the Eternals is going. Shang-Chi got pushed back to May 7th, 2021. And Doctor Strange 2 got pushed back to November 5th, 2021. So we're getting three movies next year, and only one movie this year for the MCU.
Okay.
Based on this release schedule.
So, one movie this year, three movies next year, and three movies the year after that. So far, but that's through July 8th of 2022, but we know they were originally moving to four movies a year, and...
Well, Spider-Man 3 was supposed to come out somewhere in there as well.
Okay. So, yeah, this is just Marvel Studios. Announcement. Okay. So yeah, we're interesting, man. I'm excited that they've got a slate because it's something we can start looking forward to, but we were fully hyped. I mean, we've done all these trailer episodes. I'm so pumped for Black Widow.
Yeah.
They have become experts at hyping us up to get it to a fever pitch right when the movie comes out. And now we're going to have to like take a way big step back and just like simmer at this level of hype for 6 more months, and I'm bummed about it.
Yeah.
That being said, everyone be safe out there.
It's not like they can release the trailers again, you know?
Yeah.
If they re-release it, it's like, oh, yeah, cool, I've seen this. I am that still wanting to see the movie.
That is very true. Yep, it's just like, yeah. All right, well, so those are the movies coming out. I'm bummed that we're not getting them sooner.
Right. Yeah, we should go through the last three.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
We've also got Thor 4, the Love and Thunder movie, February 28th, 2022, Black Panther 2, May 8th, 2022, and Captain Marvel 2, July 8th, 2022.
Wow. Yeah.
And those are not far apart either. That's 3 months apart for all three of those movies.
Yeah. That's what I was saying, is that movie ends, the last one is set for July, and often they do something in November. So I'm wondering if that year we'll get four in 2022. I'm excited. I really hope we get back to where we're doing two or three a year instead of zero in a year. I'm upset about it, man. I'm so freaking spoiled. I don't like it.
Yeah, we were supposed to be getting the New Mutants this weekend.
Yep. And we're supposed to already have New Mutants out, and then we're supposed to get two more Marvel movies this year, and now we're getting zero since Spider-Man. It's just such a long time.
Yeah.
Such a long time.
It would have been 4 weeks from yesterday, or I guess the day before, because we would have gone on Thursday. It would have been 4 weeks after that we would have gone to Black Widow.
God, so sad.
We would already be buying tickets, Matt.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Well, I meant to do this up top, because, so last week I read all of our new patrons for the month of March or whatever. And I just, for some reason, didn't think about the fact that we had three more days left in March and we got more patrons, and you guys are awesome. And like some really, really generous patrons, like, really, really kind. So thank you so much. These are the rest of these are all of our patrons for March. I need to remember next time to read them at the beginning of the next month instead of the end, because then I end up with new patrons and we didn't read them. So, Alyssa Haynes, Mike Mad, Stephen Bennett, Dylan Diggs, Matt Rich, Russell Brill, Andrew Youngblood, and Charlie Ward. Thank you guys so much for becoming patrons over at patreon.com/mcucast. That is super, super, super rad.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Seriously, eight new patrons is huge, and I cannot thank you guys enough, especially in this current time where I'm not working for a while, unless you all go to sensingtelegrams.com. Sorry.
Put Matt to work. Sensingtelegrams.com.
That's the tagline. Sensingtelegrams.com. Put Matt to work.
Pay Matt's bills. I want there to be a pun about your name and the word micro transactions. I want it to be something like a matro transaction, but I can't make it work.
I like it. Matro transaction works.
Okay.
I dig it. Let's run down some feedback, my friend.
Yeah, man. We got a glorious one-star review on Benchers Assemble. That is all the feedback I need.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, go ahead and read it. Read it for us.
Oh, man. Sophomoric is the title on it. So the team here is juvenile at best, and the understanding of entertainment is that of adolescence. Between the misogyny, student views, and xenophobia, you can likely find better material.
I legit don't know what they're talking about. And like, I know I'm from Alabama, but I think we pretty much avoid misogyny, xenophobia. And I don't know. I guess I don't know what student views are exactly, but
I mean, maybe that's part of the problem.
I don't even deny that we're bad podcasters or that we're sophomoric, but like misogynistic and xenophobic, I don't think that we are. And maybe that's my own thing, because I'm from Alabama and we're evolved for where we are or whatever. I'm from Alabama and you're in Florida. That's not better.
I mean, I'm in Tampa, Florida, so you know, it's better than the rest of Florida.
Did you just brag about being in Tampa, Florida?
Yeah. Compared to the rest of Florida, yeah.
I'm just teasing. I don't know anything about Florida.
Just know that Tampa is better.
Florida and Alabama just have some of the worst
people?
No. Reputations is what I was going to go with, Jeff.
Oh.
Not people.
My bad. I thought we were on the finishing each other's sentences thing.
No, apparently not. Apparently not. You're like, what's the opposite of xenophobia? You're a classic self-loather over there.
Yeah, man. I hate these Florida people. Ugh. Kicking it out of my veins.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
I mean, we did have that one time where we were talking about the French. So
yeah, but that was all in jest. I thought we were clear that we were jesting. Anyway, yeah, that review had me like turning it over in my brain. Like, are we? Like, what have we done lately? I know that we have evolved over 6 years of doing this podcast. That we're probably a little more woke than we used to be. Maybe they listened to the early episodes and were like, "Oh, these guys are awful." I don't know. I just don't know, man.
Oh, I'm kind of scared to go back and listen to the early episodes.
I am too, because we got that one piece of feedback once where people were like. Somebody was like, yeah, they used this word and that word, and those are really offensive, but over time they've grown. And I'm like, whoa, oof. I didn't remember doing those things. All right. Well, hopefully we weren't too bad.
Yeah. There was a point where we got accused, or probably me, got accused of victim blaming.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, we did. But the thing was, like, we immediately called it out and corrected it right on the podcast. And, like, you know... When you say something and you don't think it all the way through, and then someone says, "Hey, that's a little this way," and then you go, "You know, that's a good point." I don't feel like that's a reason to hate a podcast. Like, you're like jumping to condemn people, and it's a problem. You know, that's a problem. You got to be able to let people evolve and let people talk things out, and that's the kind of the beauty of podcasting is like you can kind of say something horrible that you're thinking, and then as long as you talk it through, like. Sometimes your audience will be forgiving. You know what I mean?
Or you can just edit it out.
That's fair. That is fair. That is fair. Maybe I should work on that more, but I don't like to edit too much. I like to put us out there raw and real, you know?
That's fair. On one of the episodes of Altered Carbon stuff that I listened to earlier today, there was a snafu with where your audio was versus where Wes Fox's was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was one part where you guys were talking at the same time, and your audio should have been, like, at the end of where it was, and then there was a part where Wes Fox was just, like, you know, he obviously stopped to listen to you, and it was just dead.
No, that's happened before. So, for us to be in a, like, we don't have editors, I have to do it all myself, and so... And editing all these podcasts, just editing them takes me, you know, 10 hours a week at this point. Like, I'm really editing a lot these days. And so sometimes I have to do them in a fast manner. And so just to be able to do them, sometimes I make mistakes. And I apologize for that. That's a bummer. But I can't really do anything about it. Let me know, though, if you...
It's a bit late.
Thank you, my love. Alyssa just brought me another beer.
Oh,
she is being maybe too kind.
We need to get through this here feedback before you get too sloshed.
I'm good. I'm only six deep, man.
Oh, goodness. Mary Garrett.
I'm not really six deep. That was a joke.
Yeah, I know. Mary Garrett said on Twitter, "Now this has me thinking, which of the Avengers would be at risk for COVID-19? Maybe just Tony, Wanda, Hawkeye, and Nat? Bruce should be isolated with Tony, though, to work on a cure/vaccine.
I love this question, just because Mary is such a Marvel light like we are, that she immediately is like, COVID-19, how do we handle this? Call the Avengers.
Call the Avengers. We're going to fix it.
I love it. Tony's probably the only one over 50. I mean, except for Cap, but he's got that super serum working for him.
Yeah. I think Scott. Oh, Hank Pym.
Definitely at risk. Hank Pym and Janet Van Dyne, they're in trouble.
Nah, Janet's got the quantum realm stuff going on. She can heal herself.
Why is Wanda at risk? I mean, like, everybody's at risk. First of all, let's dispel that. Everyone can get sick from this, and everyone can even die from it.
Not but, Thor.
Immunocompromised people, and, we are talking so much about COVID-19 this episode, and I know it's on everyone's mind, but we talked about it a lot at the top before anyone else even mentioned it.
Yep. And we're an escapist podcast, Matt. We got to get off of this.
Well, thank you, Mary, for writing in. But yes, I think you're... I don't know why she says that Wanda, Hawkeye, and Nat would be... Hawkeye and Nat, I don't know how old they are, but they may be nearing a little older age. I don't know why Wanda would be.
I think that she just means who would be a carrier or who would get sick. Not necessarily just die, but get sick.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, honestly, it sounds like it might be pretty transmissible. So anyone in the Marvel Universe, everybody stay home. That's the message. Anyone in this universe. So everybody stay home. Let's all stay home. Let's let this thing die.
Take a page out of Scott's book when he was under house arrest. You know, play some drums.
Yeah.
Learn magic.
Sorry, we just got done with Dark Phoenix, so I had Scott Summers in my mind.
Oh my God.
I was like, what? What did Scott do? Except for just follow the Phoenix around.
Come back to me. You said you'd come back to me. You know, if he had gotten a chance to like actually talk her down and use the love that they are supposed to have.
Yeah, they dropped that storyline completely. He just stood there and let his hand get destroyed by the Phoenix Force or whatever. Like, I was like, what are you doing?
She's like, Jean,
you can't kill me. Sorry, now we're back on Dark Phoenix, but you can't kill at the end of the movie, there's this big swirling crazy madness, and she says, you can't kill me without killing yourself, all your friends. And I was like, why don't your friends run away? Like, why are they standing so close? All of them could leave. All of them.
Guys, can you step back for a minute?
Oh, and then you hear a bamf, and then she just explodes the bad guy. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, she did go up. She took it to space. She did a real Superman thing there.
I know, but that just made me mad at every other character for standing around and watching. And especially Scott, who's like, I'm rubbing my hands in the river of your power. It hurts.
I'm laughing so hard I pulled my headphones out. Hold on, I can't hear you. Oh man.
Let's get into this next piece of feedback.
Alright, Gavin Fry said, so in regards to where Taskmaster gets the claw thing, it comes from Infinity War during the Wakanda scene, just before they run out to confront the I forget what they're called things. Black Panther tells Wakanda forever, makes the W with his arms, and thus the claws come out. Anyway, just thought you guys should know. Does this mean Taskmaster in Wakanda? Love to hear your thoughts. See, this is where you're wrong, Gavin.
That seems aggressive.
Black Widow happens before Infinity War in the timeline.
Ah.
So.
Yes, I think Gavin is conflating two things. So people are wondering where he got that symbol. We know that Black Panther does that symbol because of that moment in Infinity War. We don't know where the actual character of Taskmaster got it. Because yes, Black Widow happens before Infinity War.
Yeah, he hasn't seen the footage from Infinity War yet because it hasn't happened.
It hasn't come out in theaters because coronavirus hit there earlier.
Things happen in Russia a lot slower than they do the rest of the world. No, that's not true. That's not true at all. Zach Manthe says, with the quarantine, I have time on my hands, so I started listening to previous episodes that I hadn't listened to before. I just listened to the Endgame instant take and have chills even listening to two people talk about this movie. Also, the thing I love and trust about Marvel is everything we think is a continuity error ends up coming back to be explained further in the next movies. So I don't think old man Cap sitting on the bench is a mistake. Cap doesn't understand the time travel as much as Hulk or Nebula, and so he made a selfish choice to retire and live with Peggy. Now, we have to live in a world where Cap messed up and created different timelines. So did Thanos when he came to our timeline. And the Avengers we have left might just have to fix this multiverse of madness where we can be introduced to bizarre new heroes and villains. What if the events of Black Widow happen in a different timeline than our own?
Dang, Zach.
I like that.
I like this idea a lot. And it makes a lot of sense. I don't know if they'll go with it because I think they want to tidy up all that stuff. I think they wanted Endgame to feel tidy, but I do love, for me, this would be amazing. I don't know if for the general audiences, this would be amazing. I don't know if everybody would follow it, but I love the idea that they come back in Multiverse of Madness and explain that, well, the reason we have to have this movie, we're gathered to here today to have this movie.
Thank you all for coming.
Thank you all for coming.
Go ahead. Come on. I want
to
hear it.
We're going to now have a big exposition scene, Doc Brown style, and explain how all this time travel hinkity works caused all kinds of split off timelines, and then explain what happened as a result. So Thanos left the one timeline, and that caused all kinds of craziness. And then, you know, each of these other timelines, and Cap staying back created this timeline. There are six other timelines created, but they weren't too different because Cap returned the time stone. But him staying in this universe caused all kinds of spin-off problems. This butterfly effect. Yeah, I love that.
What if Cap going through and janking up the timelines caused this multiverse of madness, right? And the multiverse is all these different time streams. But the time streams all want to return to one. They want to collapse back in on each other. But we get an incursion type event. Type thing where, you know, people, the two universes are colliding and they're having to deal with these repercussions, and like universes are being destroyed from these timelines collapsing back in, and some people are left, some people are not. There's mutants in one of them somehow got created, you know, and you get sort of that AVX sort of, that's what, that wasn't AVX. What was that? That was Battle World. Secret Wars. That's the one.
Yeah, yeah.
So you get sort of a Secret Wars, Battle World kind of situation, mashed up realities, and everybody's having a fight. And it takes them a while to kind of realign everything into one good universe.
Yeah. I love that idea. I really do. And I love the idea that Zach presented of going so multiverse that you have to deal with all these things, but I don't know if they're going to do it, but I love it. I think it's a great idea.
Good. You're the one person I was trying to get on board with this.
Yeah, I'm on board. I'm on board.
Alexis Lopez has just been watching Agent Carter, thanks Disney Plus, and there is talks of Leviathan, and they seem to have help from young Russian girl spies. Do we reckon this was the Black Widow program?
Yes.
Absolutely, yes.
Don't they call it the Red Room in there? Or am I making that up?
I don't recall. It's been a while since we watched that.
It has. Yeah, but that is definitely the implication that those young Russian spy girls are from the same program that eventually creates Natasha.
Natasha. Natasha. Natalia Romanovna.
Mm-hmm.
That's her comics name. Anyway, Nick sent us an email. Sorry, but I totally get why Spider-Man Far From Home got votes for being the worst. The first half of it felt like National Lampoon's European Vacation. I watched it constantly wondering when Chevy Chase would turn up. I love all the Stranded Panda pods, guys. Giving you 5-star review here in Australia, but not sure you get to see those reviews in the US. I'm a bit behind on the Alter Carbon pods, hoping you can make sense of the first season for me. Stay safe and keep going.
Oh, well, thank you, Nick, for the 5-star review. And yeah, you please stay safe too. Actually, that's an interesting question about the podcast and whether we see this. I know that the iTunes are different depending on what country you're in. I don't know if we see his reviews. But again, let us say, if you do a review for us, especially during one of our t-shirt giveaways, if you do a review and you send it to, take a screenshot and send it to us, we will happily give you credit for it and put you in the running for the t-shirts and the other things that we do, the giveaway for the Avengers game that we're going to be doing soon. So Spider-Man Far From Home. Yeah, it definitely seemed like a teen comedy, but that's what it was. So I guess I didn't mind it, but I hear you.
I hear you. It was a teen comedy that had this background of Mysterio going on. And, you know, at the time, I was so excited that was happening. I was so just pumped to see Mysterio and see Mysterio done well. And Mysterio was done so well. But then, you know, the discussion happened and the discussion happened of why is Spidey always dealing with Tony's shit? Like, why doesn't Spidey get to deal with his own villains and his own story? And I was like, yeah. Yeah! Why doesn't Spidey get to deal with his own stuff?
I guess it just doesn't bother me because it just feels like I understand having that issue, but it is just that's what makes me like the MCU, because it's all tied together. You know, it's not always starting from scratch, having to come up with a whole new villain. You do have these connections to each other. So, like, how am I going to be mad that they connected it to another character? And yeah, while Damage Control was related to Vulture, and Stark was related to Damage Control, and Happy was in the movie, and he was in that final scene in the plane, I don't think that the first movie is that tied to Tony Stark. The second movie is clearly because he's dealing with the death of Tony Stark, and it's, like, tied into that thematically. But I don't think that the first movie is so Tony Stark heavy that it really gives me a problem, you know?
The first movie is all about him trying to impress Tony Stark so that Tony Stark will look at him as someone that can be worked with.
Yeah.
So that he can, and it's him trying to impress his cool new uncle, you know?
Yeah, like, that's true. It's so funny. We keep talking about that movie and I keep not focusing on the fact that Tony Stark is in it. But yes, like,
it's like he steps out of the suit. Come on.
I love that scene. I just, that's the thing though. That's what makes that, he's the one who brought him into being a Avengers level hero. And I guess I just don't mind that his story is tied to Tony's. That's why this whole entire universe is birthed from the 2008 Iron Man, you know what I mean? Like, everything comes from that.
Yeah, I mean, but you don't have to keep paying homage to it. You know, we know that it started everything back in 2008, and a lot of things are tied to it, and that's cool, but, like, it's established itself enough at this point to where it's its own foundation.
Yeah. But it is, he did take in Spider-Man. I mean, like, yeah, you can just say you don't like what they did, but, like, of course he's going to have problems related to Tony Stark, and he's going to have relationship with Tony Stark when that's, like, a huge part of his character right now. That's how they brought him into the world, was Civil War is Tony Stark going to pick him up, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he's his mentor.
Yeah, I just don't mind that he's how cool is that? I don't understand why everybody has a problem with it, but, you know, people like what they
think.
Like,
it's just that because Spider-Man is such a hugely popular character in comics, you know, in his own right, and for so long Spider-Man was not ever a part of the Avengers. He wasn't on the team until, like, the late 90s, if I recall correctly. He spent a solid, like, 30 years not on the team, you know, just doing his own thing.
Right. And building his own rogues gallery and I get it. It's different from comics. And that is where me and you differ. I never care if something is different from comics. I think that the comics are great source material, and when you can make them similar to comics, great. But it's never a problem for me. Now, if you compare it to the comics and it's just clearly better in comics, that's fine. But I don't think this is that case. I think it's different from comics, but I don't think it's better in comics necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, when something differs from the comics and it's done well, or if they take it from comics and it's done well, and they're inspired by comics and it's done well, and they, you know, kind of change things here and there, it's fine, as long as it's done well. But if it's not done well, then it's like, why didn't you just stick to the copy? Yeah. It was written. It was right there.
Yeah, but the thing is, I don't know that, like, we just covered Dark Phoenix over on Bingers, and that movie tried to stay a lot closer to the comics than previous X-Men outings had. And I don't think it was better for it.
You know, honestly, like, the parts where it was good are the parts where they got to be characters emoting and dealing with the trauma of each other. And when they brought in all of the Phoenix storyline along with that, it was just garbage.
Hmm.
And I think that's the main issue that I have with the film, is that, you know, they tried so hard to just kind of cram Phoenix in there when they haven't even established, like, forming a team and going through the multiple steps that are involved with forming a real team and showing us how they are as a family. And, you know, you have to occasionally deal with crap from each other. Somebody gets on your nerves, but then, like, we got a job to do. Let's, you know, stuff that for now, because we got this job to do, let's go do the job, and then we can deal with our shit later.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it comes out in the field, whatever. Like, show us that. Show us those interactions. Show us the character moments. Make us care about the characters. And they were just like, cool, here's some little teensy bit of character. Oh, but no Phoenix, right? Phoenix and aliens. Holy crap, guys, aliens.
Yeah. Like, let's tie this back in. I think this is exactly why I like that they use Tony Stark and his character that has been well established as the sort of driving force and the foundation and the driving force behind Spider-Man's storylines, because you don't have to do a lot of extra work to establish a new character or a new set of characters when you've got Tony, who you can just easily spin a fun character like Mysterio off of, and then you go, and now Spider-Man, build that character. And then I think Spider-Man as himself has been a very meaty character. And then the other characters, and like, that's why connecting the universe the way that Marvel has is so powerful, because when you start a new thing, you don't have to start from scratch every time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's why I think it's actually a positive. But yeah, I understand that criticism. But that's not even what Nick was saying, that it just seems like European Vacation. And I agree with him completely. I don't know that it's a bad thing, though.
It's like, yes, that was the movie, and that's what they wanted it to be. I don't know why you're complaining.
They talked a lot about how it was going to be a John Hughes movie, or a, you know, similar in vibe to John Hughes. And I think they accomplished that. I think it's a, you know, it's a Breakfast Club type teen comedy that, you know, turns into a superhero movie halfway through. And I'm not upset about that.
Yeah. Like, I'm down with it.
Yeah. I enjoyed it a lot, but I know not everyone did. And I love that everyone has different opinions too. So that's good too.
Do you love that?
I love it. I love it so much. Teach okay. me, everyone. Teach me.
Teach me how to have opinions.
I just really do. I like when people have completely different opinions from me, because it shows that just everybody has their own thing. Everybody likes what they like, and that's cool. Chris Hayes up next says, how does Marvel keep the hype train going for Black Widow with a rain delay? If you want to call it a rain delay, that's fine. Chris Hayes, yeah, I don't...
We did talk about that earlier.
We did, and I just don't know. I don't know. I thought it was worth reading again, because I don't know. I don't know.
It's not up to us. It's not up to us, Chris. Actually, it might be.
It might be up to us. That's what we do. That's what we do here, is we keep our hype up for Marvel, even when they leave us for a year and a half.
We keep your seat warm.
You said you'd always come back for me.
Oh, no.
It's a quote from Dark Phoenix, everybody.
I got it.
Other We're people might there. Just listen to our Dark Phoenix episode, so...
That's fair. Zach Manthe says, last time I'll post today, maybe. I know a lot of people are talking about how they'd like to see a Spider-Verse movie with Tobey and Garfield joining Tom Holland, but I would love to see Andrew Garfield join the MCU as Harry Osborn. I think he'd make a great Harry and would have a great dynamic with Tom Holland.
The ages would be very different, which would be interesting. I don't really know from comics what their age difference is. I think they're closer in age, right? Were they friends in comics? Is that a thing that... Is that just from the Sam Raimi movies? I don't really remember.
I don't really remember early Spider-Man. I think they were friends. I think they went to college together.
Okay.
Or they went to high school together. And Harry was just the rich friend.
Yeah, I know that in the Sam Raimi movies they're close. And that I don't know if that's something that... Like, we're all attached to because of the Sam Raimi movies, or if that's something that they, that we can, you know, throw out and go back to more comics appropriate
stuff.
Where
does my knowledge of Spider-Man end and Sam Raimi movies begin? I don't know.
I don't either, man. I don't know. I can't answer that for you.
I gotta go. I gotta go do some introspection some reading.
We've got two more before you go to introspection.
Okay. Uh-huh. Zach Manthe also says, still in an endgame kick and had a thought. Cap's shield is made out of vibranium, which we are led to believe is indestructible and the strongest metal in the world. Not even Thor's hammer can break it, and that's a weapon of the gods. Yet, Thanos chips it down to nothing with his sword. What if Thanos' sword is picked up by damage control after the battle and studied, and we get a new element in our universe? Adamantium.
What do you think?
I don't know, man. I kind of like that adamantium was made by humans. You know, it's an alloy. There's a process made by humans. I kind of want to give human scientists a thing. Like, give them a medal, you know?
Well, they already have, like, vision.
But they don't, though.
Yeah, I guess he is made from vibranium. And, I mean, Dr. Cho did, like, work on him a lot and, like, or, like, make that whole thing possible.
I mean, really, though, it was Ultron. And Ultron is kind of the consciousness of the Mind Stone.
Yeah, this got us on a whole conversation in the thread on the MCU Cast chat group on Facebook, where we talked about, I think it's interesting because I think that the entire battlefield could be rife with storylines going forward, just like the Battle of New York was, you know? It's hard to know because when Tony snapped, a bunch of the ships disappeared and a bunch of the people disappeared. So yeah. Some of the inanimate objects disappeared, but it doesn't seem like all of them. So I don't know, because it definitely is still a field full of destruction. And like the entire Thanos' ship, Thanos' like flagship that was firing at Captain Marvel, Captain Marvel took it down and it fell into the water. And I don't know if it disappeared, because it's very possible we'll get, you know, future movies start with like... what's his name? James Cameron going down to the bottom of the ocean to check out the wreckage of Thanos' ship and seeing what's going on there, you know, and finding the next MacGuffin, you know?
Oh man. Just like we get like a Matthew McConaughey on a boat. Yeah. Just being like a treasure diver.
Yes. Yes. Shirtless Matthew McConaughey diving down, picking up pieces of Thanos' ship.
All right.
All right. Got you some adamantium right here.
Hey, you see that? That's pretty good adamantium right there, boy. Oh, God. All right. Jesse Cook says, thanks to this quarantine, I was finally able to binge The Witcher, which is absolutely fantastic, by the way. I can't help but think how likely it is that Marvel Studios will target Anya Chalotra. Chalotra, who plays Yennefer, for a future role. It seems like they like to get these actors who are relatively unknown early on after they have a breakthrough role. She's also young enough to stick around for a while if the role called for it. With that said, I'm really struggling to fan cast her in my head. The first thought was Kamala Khan, but with Ms. Marvel being a few years away, plus things likely getting pushed back due to COVID-19, I feel like she may be a little too old for that role. Does anyone out there have any other ideas? Also, for the record, if you guys ever decide to cover The Witcher on some sort of Stranded Panda platform, I'm totally here for it.
I haven't seen The Witcher. I don't know who this person is. So this one's for you, Jeff.
Okay, so she plays a character that is sultry, sexy, and powerful in her own right.
Well, now I need to watch The Witcher.
And she embraces that sexuality to empower her even more. And she is basically taking control of her life. And she's a really strong character. She's really... and she's a beautiful lady. So all of that together, and I think that I have the perfect one. I think I have the perfect character in mind for her is Jessica Drew, Spider-Woman.
Nice.
And I say that not just because Spider-Woman, Jessica Drew, is a dark-haired person. It would be really easy to just keep her dark hair like that. You know, she's got the build for it. She's got the acting chops for it. She embraces the sexuality the same way that that the Yennefer character does. You know, she's got one of her powers is pheromone control. So she can kind of charm people into doing what she wants out of them. She's a really good spy. She was an agent of Hydra at first and then S.H.I.E.L.D. later. So, you know, she's got the chops. And I think that character suits her quite well for it. I just don't know how they would introduce her at all.
Very cool. I think that you did a good casting job there. It sounds like with the dark hair, you got the look, and then you also got the character and like her ability as an actress to capture a certain type of role. I dig it. I don't know much about Spider-Woman, and I don't know much about this actress. So yeah, there you go. And should we do a Witcher podcast if we end up trapped in our houses too long? We're halfway through Altered Carbon, which, by the way, guys, we are doing an Altered Carbon watch 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, on Bingers Assemble. So if you're not following that podcast, go like it or watch Altered Carbon with us. I love Altered Carbon. It is a very adult show. So if you're not into that, or if you're not an adult, it's probably, you know, there's probably an age limit. You should not check it out.
If you're not an adult,
it's probably like a 13 plus kind of thing. I don't know what age kids do things.
Oh man, that is so not a 13 plus kind of show.
Okay, 18. Okay, 18. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, straight up 18.
You're right. No, yeah. Older. I just remembered a certain scene. Yeah, 18 year and up. Go watch Altered Carbon and come check us out on Bingers Assemble, where we're covering that day by day, just to throw some extra content into the world for this COVID crisis. And we're gonna keep doing that. And you guys join us if you can. Oh yeah, we're going to do an Altered Carbon. Then The Boys, and who knows, if The Witcher's the show, you guys keep letting us know. By the way, what are you doing now, Jeff? Are you stuck at home, or are you still going?
I'm working from home.
Yeah.
I'm currently on 3 projects, and we're doing pre-sales on another one.
Wow. Okay, cool. Well, it sounds like you're really busy, but I don't know if you wanted to be involved with The Witcher, if we do a Witcher thing.
I would love to be involved with the Witcher thing. You know, I really love the show and love the books. And I really, you know, honestly, I saw Henry Cavill come into his own as a character that, like, he was actually acting. He had to act, and it was phenomenal. He was such a good Geralt of Rivia.
Neat. I know nothing about it. I haven't seen the show or played the game.
Or read the books.
Oh, is there books too? See, I don't even know.
Yeah.
I don't even know, guys. I don't even know. All right, guys. Well, we are the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast. Hit us up at mcucast.com, at mcucast on Twitter, facebook.com/mcucast, mcucast@gmail.com, or call us at 573-CAST-MCU.
You did that so good.
Thank you. We'll be back soon. SendSingingTelegrams.com if you want to send a phone call singing telegram to someone trapped in isolation.
Reach out via Matt.
Reach out via Matt. I'll call him. I'll read a message. I'll sing a song. It's going to be great. SendSingingTelegrams.com. Ding.
Put Matt to work.
Put Matt to work. Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast, brought to you by SendSingingTelegrams.com this week. All right. Peace, guys.
Until next time, true believers.